Frank Smith, the February 14th, 2001. Sir, what were you doing? Give us an idea of what you were doing prior to the war.
Well, when the war in Europe took place, I was in high school. And at the time, the Americans did not have military training camps, but they opened these camps to high school students. They were sending out army recruiters to speak to the seniors, juniors of high school, to talk them into going to the military camp for 4 summers. It was sort of a free vacation. But at the end of the 4 summers, if they completed the military training camp, they were eligible to becoming second lieutenants in the Army. Well, I went into these camps in 1938 and 1939 so that I put in 2 years of this training. But then as the war accelerated in 1939 and in that period, the U.S. Army said, hey, enough. We need these camps for our, at that time, early volunteers before having the conscription of bringing the men into the service.
Where were the camps that you attended?
The camp, well, the first year I went to Fort Dix. It was Camp Dix. The second was at Plattsburgh Barracks, upstate. So that I was fortunate of taking advantage of this.
What were the programs like?
Regular military training. You had the, what you went into the, when most of us went into the Army, we had basic training. Well, I had all that and plus. The first year we shot a rifle, the 30-30, and the second year we were shooting machine guns. So we were getting a thorough Army training program. Well, now when the camps were converted to training camps for the regular military people, we were out of luck. So that was it. When I was then brought into the service, at that time, two of my brothers were in, because then we got involved. And when I went into the service, I was out on an occupational deferment. And I'm sure you're aware of the fact that I worked for an electrical company that was preparing antennas for the Navy. The employees were, when they were called, they received a 6-month deferment. And every 6 months, they would be reviewed to determine whether they continue or they stop. Well, I was in that program and therefore did not go into the service. In the meantime, my younger brother was called and he was ready to go. I decided to go to the draft board, ask them to take out my papers to go with my brother. Now, we already had two brothers in, and now two more were going to go. Well, may I tell you that hell broke loose when I went home to tell my mother. My mother was a widow. And I'm in a family of 9, 7 brothers and 2 sisters. Now I have to convince them that what I did was right. You know that 8 against 1, I was wrong. But it turned out that I'm the type that once I make a decision, it stands, and it turns out to be the right decision. So I've been respected for that. And as a result, my brother and I, we went in together, and now there's 4 of the family in the service. All right, so I drifted away from the alien registration period. Did I give you enough of it? Where?
Not on camera.
Sorry. Well, I have to retract because during that early period, and when I graduated high school, my first job was being taken out of civil service. I used to apply for a number of civil service jobs. While waiting on one of the lists, I was called to take a position with the post office. Well, I didn't apply for a post office job, but the post office people, personnel, were being used to train these people from the civil service list for a special job. The special job was alien registration.
This was about when?
Which, in the year, late 1938, 39, so that it was meant to register all aliens in preparation again for the war clouds that have been coming about, and it mostly centered on the German aliens, the Japanese, and the Italian aliens. But the fact that it was an alien registration, it included all aliens. But you can understand that the crux was, as we expected. And I had the fortunate of getting that job where we interviewed. Now, I was situated in an Italian neighborhood. They used the public schools for having people come in. There was two processes. One was interviewing them to get information, and the second was fingerprinting them on regular cards. And therefore, they had a complete record of all the aliens in the various neighborhoods. Now, I was in an Italian neighborhood, and people who spoke German were located accordingly to them, which was appropriate. And that was my first experience. And today we're hearing about these people that were put into camps, the Japanese and even the Italians, that were not so much mistreated but lost a lot of property and whatever. Now they want to be some kind of retribution. What is happening is still in the papers. I don't know of anyone's collecting yet. But that has been another activity for World War II. Okay, now, I therefore went into the service. My brother and I went to school and we separated. I went one way, he went one way. I went to Patterson Field, Ohio. He went to Wright Field, Ohio. And within 3 months, I was shipped overseas. Bingo. There I went. My brother stayed in Ohio. He had the expertise of a machine typist, shorthand typist at the time, which is the court stenographer today. So that when he was sent to Wright Field, somebody picked him up as a specialist. Mayor O'Dwyer of New York was a general in Wright Field, and he labeled my brother to being his personal secretary. So he was shipped to Patterson Field because of his specialty. As a result, when he went there, O'Dwyer was shipped out and went into another area. But his assistant, who knew why my brother was going there, stepped up to O'Dwyer's position and therefore took my brother as his personal secretary. The result was that my brother stayed in Wright Field throughout the war. I went overseas and spent my time in Africa and Italy. So,
where'd you take the basic training?
My basic training was in Miami Beach, Florida. So from our basic training, we were then separated into specialty. They checked your civilian background. I was a stock record supervisor, so they sent me to supply school in Ohio. My brother was a secretary, so they sent him to administration school. So we split up in Ohio. And then we split up when we got different assignments. All right, so I spent 3 years in the service. You don't want any part of that?
Oh, yes. Now, where was your...
I was a sergeant in the Air Force Supply. Now, the fact that we were Air Force Supplies and we went overseas, it's my unit was then organized as an air depot supply in Naples, Italy, to give the Air Force supplies to the 12th and 15th Air Force. Now, at that time, the 12th and 15th Air Force was used to destroy Germany when the last push of bombing and whatnot. So it was the 12th and 15th Air Force that was part of. There were other Air Force, you know, from England. But we supplied the complete plane, parts, uniforms, everything to the Air Force. So we are considered rear echelon GIs. We are not the fighting GIs, combat. So it was a, I don't want to say negative, but you know, you had to be, it was second best. And yet we were just as important. Now, you take the combat GI. Who supplies him with his bullets, his clothing, his food? It has to be a rear echelon person that does that. Now, I remember reading something that it takes 30 to 40 people to prepare and supply a combat soldier. That may be why. I don't have the statistics, but it certainly doesn't take one person to supply a fighting GI.
Was your first assignment, was that Italy, or did you first go to Africa?
What do you mean, this time?
Well, when you went overseas.
When I went overseas, we went to Africa.
Okay.
We were in depot supplies. A depot supply is moving the equipment that comes in to be distributed to the units that need those supplies.
So what unit were you assigned to?
Air Force Supplies.
Was there a specific unit?
Well, I don't know what you're leading to. I was in the office staff in charge of requisitions. In other words, we would get requisitions of the items that are needed for the area. We would mail them, send them to Wright Field, because Wright Field was the air base, air supply, that now provided whatever equipment was needed. That was my job.
Now, where did you land in Africa?
We landed in Africa shortly after Rommel was kicked out. Right now, the specific dates. But we were fortunate that when, now you mentioned, when we went to Africa in the convoy, our convoy went to the Mediterranean, and as we get to Algiers, part of that convoy is diverted to Oran and Algiers. And we stayed in this convoy and go to Tunis. When we get to Tunis, we're not off the ship. We were bombed by the air raid. We had an air raid, but a German air raid hitting the ports.
What was that like?
Well, that was our welcoming greeting. No gas masks, no foxholes. And you know that when the ports are being bombed, they smoke screen the area. Now, we're rushing to get off the boat to find some place to hide and bury ourselves. Some idiot yells out, gas. No gas masks. We're running off the ships. We're trying to get on land. Now we have to worry about the gas. And it was a smoke screen. So that was our welcoming mat going to. So what happened then, they discovered that our group, our ship should have gotten out back in Algiers. Now we're in an area in Tunis, getting our whatever. Luckily that we survived. Now we have to go back to Algiers. You go back on a 6x6 truck. It was a 2-day trip. That's a opening to the war effort. So we stayed there, and as a result, we then moved to Naples. Now, I'll give you a quick instance. While I was in Africa, I went to my officers to tell them they're forming an allied government in Naples. I speak, read it, Italian. Can I be transferred to that unit? He says, no way. You have to stay. Well, as luck would have it, we didn't know at the time where we were going from Africa. We ended up in Naples, Italy. Well, now I'm happy being there. And this officer got into some kind of a problem where his Jeep ran into a civilian crowd. How and why, no story. And one of the babies in the mother's arms dies, is killed from it. He now has to go to civil court. Now, I could never understand why during the war years this happened. He had to go to civil court. But anyway, it was washed out. He wanted me to go now to help him in court. I said, well, sorry, I don't have that kind of expertise. You should get someone else. And that's what happened.
So in Naples, you...
We had a billet, a house for doing our work, the office space and all that.
Did you get out in Naples much?
I was right in the city of Naples. If I took off my tie, I would be one of the locals, because if you recall, at that time the Italian army converted it and came to the U.S. In coming to the U.S., they were issued GI uniforms without a tie. So that's what happened.
You had a pretty good experience in Naples. Your experience was pretty good in Naples?
Oh, yes. I went back in 85 when I retired from my jobs. It was the first opportunity. You notice I told you how I've taught for 44 years. And during that time, night school, day school, total concurrently about 105 years. My wife and I didn't have any vacation. That was our first vacation. We went to Italy. And I felt, with the Perillo tour, I felt that I was there the night before, and I was able to go all over Italy, north and south, and it was perfect. I mean, we had a responsibility, we had a job, and as supplying the 12th or 15th Air Force, I managed to be in Rome 5 days after it was liberated. I was on an assignment. We used to go to depots to check supplies to see if they were getting what they were ordering, if they had any specialty. So one of the trips required that we did that, and a number of times we were in Pisa, we were bombed while again visiting. So here's a rear echelon GI not firing a gun, and therefore was not a combat soldier. But yet, I was in the war zones. I got 3 battle stars because of being in those areas. And to me, I know and I'm proud of the fact that I did the job that I was assigned to. I did a job as good as possible. And somehow we did not, when I say we, the rear echelon GI did not get the recognition. And proof of the pudding, I wrote a book after the war for the rear echelon job that I did, which I thought was as worthy as the guy shooting the guns. And it was not accepted because the return letters would indicate we are looking for fighting experience.
What were some of the difficulties of in your job supplying the units?
We had no problem, believe it or not.
The black market.
see, you're getting into an area that yes, you could not, I didn't realize that you were heading that direction. You cannot stop black market activities. Now, I'm going to say something that I don't want you to think that I was an angel, that I gave away most of my rations because I could not see. If you've read my 50-year history, I mentioned this, that I gave up a real estate agent's job collecting rents because the landlord was not providing the services to his tenants, and he had them in such miserable condition that it brought me back to what I'm about to tell you, that I could not see the poverty that I witnessed. I've never forgotten it. And when you see children waiting for us to dump our mess kits in garbage pails and having them go over to spread what we didn't eat, you say to yourself, how lucky you are that you're not in that position. And I want to say that we in America, the people, were lucky that they never had to witness or experience an air raid, if anything else. We were, the people don't know how lucky they were being in the United States when Europe and all these other countries were sacrificing and living in poverty. Well, I wasn't alone with my feelings of giving, because I've witnessed many, many doing the same thing, because we came from I came from a strong family oriented background. It made me the person that I am, that made me do what I did because it was the right thing to do. At the same time, alongside of me, I'm witnessing the black marketeers who, how they got what they had to sell is another question. You didn't see, you don't know, and you've become the blind monkey. Don't see, you don't hear, you don't speak. And therefore, to your question, it certainly took place, and there was no way of stopping it. If it was, the ones who were assigned to stop it were also involved. So, I'm sorry, not that I'm sorry, but I didn't expect something like that. So I want you to throw out what you think you want to hear.
No.
In other words, I'm not criticizing you for it. It happened. I wasn't going to bring it out unless you did what you did.
I find it very interesting because...
I think so.
You
brought out another good point of my life.
The aspect of the poverty, people don't think in those terms. When they're a long ways away from it, they begin to think in legalistic terms. But when you get closer to it, it's on a very personal level.
You know,
changes the whole equation.
You don't know it unless you're in it. That's in a nutshell.
Did you have much contact with the Italian civilians?
What was that?
Did you have much daily
contact? Oh, yes. I. You see, doing what I'm telling you, I got acquainted with a lot of people. They looked up to me. I became a godparent of children at birth. I don't know if you're Christian, but it doesn't matter. At christening, confirmation, they looked up to me to be their godparents. So I think I was a godparent at least 3 times. To me, in our family, it's an honor when you're called to be a godparent, and I was. I managed to ride home and let my parents and my family members send things to people. I couldn't do it, but they were able to send clothing and stuff like that. I had no relatives. But I don't want to tell you the number of addresses that were sent to me to visit. And if I visited people in poverty, and they sit me down at a table with 20 people watching me, giving me their last little food. Because when you visit an Italian family, you have to eat and drink, no matter what. And I kept telling them, I understand, I accept the tradition, but don't give me what I can eat and can't.
How did they deal with it?
How they do it?
How did they deal with that?
Well, it went on deaf ears because the meal was prepared as soon as I walked in. And I think one of the nicest things I did while I was in Africa, I was stationed at the prison camp of Italian prisoners. Because of my being able to speak Italian, I was at the main gate. And at the main gate, you're in a position of getting acquainted with the prisoners, which I did. And when I was told that we're coming to Naples, and I had to break this news to most of the prisoners, because I ate with them. They had the same food that we did, but it was prepared differently. I couldn't eat at the mess hall when I was getting my old familiar Italian food meal, you know? So when I have to tell these people that I'm leaving, well, all hell breaks loose because they've lost a friend. And I took names and addresses of people in Italy, and I promised them I would visit their parents. And I did that. And when I would go into off the main road, and the GI is walking, the whole town comes on you. What are you doing here? Why? You're not a member of the community. So I would approach them and say, is Joseph Smith's parents here? And they say, yeah. And I would go in that direction with the whole army following me. Why are you going there? And I said, well, when I met the parents, I didn't relay this information until I met the parents. So the mother and father wanted to know why I'm asking for them. And I said, because your son Anthony, I just used the name, your son Anthony told me to come and see. They were shocked. They picked me up like a lost son. They hadn't heard from their son for 3 years. They thought he was dead. And here I'm giving them the news that their son is alive and well in the Army prison camp, the U.S. Army prison camp in Algiers.
Must have given you a good feeling.
Well, it did. Well, you see, from telling you that I gave away things instead of selling it, tells you the type of, I think, the person that I am.
Now, when you talked to the Italian POWs, what was their feeling about the war?
Well, the fact that I got acquainted, we were on the same level. I was 20 years old. I'm talking to 20-year-old kids. Their resentment was that Mussolini should have never gotten involved. They were lucky that they became prisoners of the U.S. Army. They could have been prisoners of the English and all, but word gets around somehow, they preferred to be prisoners of the USA. The fact that we separated them on their own, gave them the supplies to do what they want, cook and eat, and if they had assignments, it was menial. So they were happy being prisoners of the USA. And that was the biggest reaction, is the fact that, and you know, Italy with the United States, because of the family tie, was very close. trying to women in the United States to send them their wedding rings and jewelry and whatnot in support of the law. Every letter that came home, I would tear it up, and I was only 20 years old. But that was something. So now, am I continuing at your level?
Mm-hmm.
Now, giving you my background, when I came home after discharge, 3 years away from my wife, well, we weren't married. We made a decision of not to marry. And when I came home, we planned a marriage for March. I came home around the end of November.
45.
Because we got married in March of 46. We got nothing. I applied for a job, and I just told you about the real estate person I quit him. I didn't want to work for him. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And I just come home from Europe and watched this all my life. I now have to take it in his hand. I couldn't do it. I quit. Then each time I looked for a job and I received it, I would say, no, I'm getting married in March. Will you give me a week off? I don't want to get paid. Well, I got a second job with a CPA. I had accounting, bookkeeping experience. They needed people for March. At that time, the deadline was March 15. They were going to train me to do tax work. So I said, well, you can't help it. I said, thank you, I'm not taking the job, and I walked out of the office. Then the third time I got a job as bookkeeper, and I told the gentleman from the start, he said, look, you work, forget about your marriage, don't worry about it until we get to it. I impressed him such a way that, you have it in the paper someplace, that he was thanking a GI for serving of the war. I got married, I went away, came back. My salary was the bonus as a wedding gift. And we struck up a relationship, unbelievable, because I had to make a big decision. I applied for college. Do I quit work and go to college? What do I do? I'm going to quit. I'm going to college.
I'm a GI Bill.
Under the GI Bill, and it's all written out in that. So when I told them what I was doing, I said, I have to leave it. But he was so impressed with my work, he said, you stay on, you go to college, and you work your hours around your schooling. So I decided to go full-time day instead of working and now in college at night. I reversed the procedure. Luckily that I was home, my classes ended around 12 and 1 o'clock, different days. So after 1, I went to work, and I stayed with him for over 2 years. I've been able to survive marriage and whatnot.
Where'd you go to school?
Florida. I went to Florida, and I got my bachelor in accounting. My intention was to go for the CPA and be an accountant. In my senior year, I get the ingenious idea. I could be an accountant and teach. Well, you must be aware that at colleges, they have combined schools, business school and school of education. And the catalog indicated that they do this. But during the war years, they didn't do it. I was the first GI student to make that request, and I was denied because they didn't have it was before the war and after the war. Now I make another decision. I'll go to Fordham in the day, I'll go for my home. And then I need an educational question. I went to NYU for my master's before getting my bachelor's.
So
anyway, I got my master's in a year's time with my master's was able to get jobs on the, as I bounced around. I bounced around in three jobs from when I come out in December. I started looking for a job in December. And I got married in March. I went into three jobs. So was it tough? I don't know. Did I do a selling job? Or did I have something that they wanted? I had a high school education in bookkeeping. And it stuck with me. I'm a mathematical person. I love figures and all. And I was able to get a full-time job as a bookkeeper after 3 years in the service and coming home. So was it tough? For me, I say no. I'm a determined person. I think I come across as knowing what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And it's an impressive trait to people you're talking with, I think. And to an employer, coming out of the service and having this drive, I think they, not that they expected it, but they accepted it because I'm coming home to do my work, and as a result, they helped me. Now, the person that gave me this job as a bookkeeper in an electrical place, we were like on a father-son. I lost my father way back in 35, but he became a father image, not knowing that I lost my father, but that never came up in our conversation. But he was a very conscientious person, and he must have respected GIs coming home to start getting their lives back.
Just hold that thought, because we're going to change tapes.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I try to bring up, as you notice, from my schooling to the army to marriage, and I'm at that point now after marriage. I've told you I've worked three jobs, very satisfying. My wife and I started with nothing when we got married, and you don't know where you got. I didn't have an education. I had a job, period, but what developed thereafter, I am proud, happy that we ended up with a marriage that gave us everything. We had nothing. We came out of it with the three items. If we ever had the opportunity of what we wanted, it's a satisfied, happy lifestyle, a wonderful, successful life, and financial security. We obtained all of that.
How did your military experience play into your life?
Well, you realize that I was a commercial student in high school. I had a commercial education, bookkeeping. I go into the Army and they're putting me into supplies, which ties in with commercials and record keeping. Bookkeeping, record keeping is allied and, you know, side by side. And I'm a very strong record keeping person. Now, in the early years of 38, 39, we used to play a lot of stickball. I used to keep the statistics, batting averages, of the stickball games that we used to play on Sunday, $25, $50. And I used to tell them what their batting averages were. Now, back in 38, what was I, 16 years old? I did that. I have a mathematical thinking mind. I love that. If you try to do it, it takes you a day or a year or whatever, and you say, who needs this? When I say you in general, and a lot of people, now I grew up with friends that I still have today, would never attempt to keep a batting average. And I used to explain it to said, you get one hit at 3 times the fat, it's 1/3. 1/3 is 33 1/3%. To me, it's peanut. To them, they didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Yeah.
So, my whole life has been, I don't want to say commercial, but business life. And in my teaching, I was a business teacher, an accounting teacher. I taught accounting at college, businessman. So that was my whole life.
You feel the GI Bill gave you a...
Oh, the GI Bill made that possible. When I graduated in 1940, I couldn't go to college. I didn't have the money. It's expensive. But then it's the war years, and you don't think of it. And my whole life was college. How do I get to it? I get on my knees and thank that GI Bill. They should have a GI Bill today for every student that cannot go to college. Because you realize what the GI Bill did. Not only did it educate and gave the opportunity, I think it was responsible for the lifestyle and the economy that we got as a result of these people being educated and getting involved and doing the job that made this country the economic genius. They credit our President Clinton, but don't you think that all these business-minded people, they got into it after the war, had something to do with it?
How would you summarize your experience during World War II?
I was one of the lucky ones, because I tell people this 100 times, I came home. Yet, when we went overseas, our convoy was torpedoed, was bombed. We got missed. In other words, we weren't hit, but we were attacked going overseas. We went to the wrong port. We should have come back, and we almost got killed. We were in Naples, and we were bombed a lot. We were in troublesome spots that we... Well, I'm saying we because it was in my outfit. That I came out of it, I was lucky. I could have been any place. When I went into the service with that training that I was studying was a civilian's military training camp. I was prepared when I went in to do anything. I had nothing to say about where I was going. I didn't select what I wanted. The Army decided that when you went in, you had to go towards this direction, and you went into the infantry, and you went here. At the time that you went into the service, what was the need determined where the GIs were delegated to? None of us had a choice. And I've told this to many people. I didn't select to go into the Air Force. I didn't select to be a non-combatant GI. I had nothing to say with that. That it turned out that way, I'm happy for it. So, I don't know what more do you want.
That was very good. Have any other thoughts you'd like to add?
You're satisfied?
Very much.
I don't have to come back? Oh. This is the last item, community service. You have a lot of paperwork. Now, I am very active in the community. You name it, I'm part of it. Right now, I'm involved with the senior citizen tax work. One day a week, on Wednesday, I was there this morning. I've been doing it for years. I volunteer my service. You know, when you prepare a tax return, everybody puts their hands in their pocket. They want to. I tell them, hey, if I'm looking for this book, I would be across the street in a store with a shingle up, tax work, so now I get all I want. I don't need your money. I said, I'm not here for that. I'm giving you a free service. And I have volunteered that the community, I'm in the Lake Peekskill. That's in Putnam County. periodically the library gives a community award to the active volunteer. This year I was fortunate to be the recipient, and it's in here, of the Virginia Connolly Award. Now the only disappointment with that, every time I've gotten an award, I got a wall plaques galore. And I've been a six-time president of the Lake Peak School Civic Association, so that I'm very visible. Political parties wanted me to run for supervisor, council person. I refuse it. I don't want any part of politics. Just as soon as you get something from either party, they've got you, and they'll never let you go. Whereas I refused and stayed with the Civic Association and became a stronger voice, and I've been called the voice of Lake Peekskill. I can talk to any politician without worrying about them getting back at me, because they know where I'm coming from. They've accepted me as a fair-minded person. I don't come up and talk to you just for the sake of chewing you out. I come with facts and figures. My analytical mind gives them that. I've cut down taxes in the town. I analyze the expenditures before and after and tell them the difference of why you're going up when you should be going down. So that I've made some kind of imprint, and I'm happy for that, because it's made me a community-minded individual. I'm proud of that. And when I got this award, my wife, she passed away in October 10th, the 3rd, and I'm preparing a speech. She has read all my previous speeches before I made them to say yes or no, and she would take three pages and chop it down to maybe one page or two. And this last speech she never heard, because it was an honor. I was getting the award, but if your wife doesn't tell you, yes, you can go to this meeting and you can do this, you can't do anything. And I was able to do all the volunteering work possible, and I was dedicating my welcoming accepted speech in her honor, and I got the award the second week in October. She went the first week in October, and she never heard that speech.
I'm sure it was a good speech.
I don't know how I was able to say this now, at this point, it's the end, because my family, I had four children and eight grandchildren, and they were all at the presentation, and they know.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry to do this.
That's all right.